Every once in a while, someone close to you is talking to you and says, "Let me share my heart with you." Don't you love hearing those words from someone you love, from someone you want to have a close relationship with? "Let me share my heart with you." They may say it just like that, they may not say it, but you can tell as they're talking that they're bearing themselves to you. You can tell as they're talking that they've decided to let you in and see their heart. And they say something very, very important to you. I remember when my wife and I were dating and not married. Notice how I said, I remember when we were dating, because we still are dating. We're just married now. But when we were dating and not married, it always was great for us to talk. Julia's kind of shy, and when she would open up, we say open up, when she would open up and share her heart with me, that was a great time. And maybe you've experienced that same thing. And I am so excited about today, because Jesus is going to share his heart with us. Would you stand with me and open to Matthew chapter 21? When they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you will say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and laid their coats on them, and he sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats in the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in the road. The crowds going ahead of them, those who followed, were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When he'd entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all those who were buying and selling in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you are making it a robber's den." Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God would open your heart and soften your heart and remove Satan's blinders from your eyes and make you good soil for his word? That his word would go down deep and bear fruit in your life 30, 60, and 100-fold. Will you pray right now for the other people in this room? That God would open their hearts and soften their hearts, removing Satan's blinders from their eyes, and make them good soil for his word, that his word would go down deep and bear fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Will you pray now for me that I would deliver this sermon accurately and therefore powerfully? May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. In the name of your beautiful Son, Jesus Christ, amen. Please be seated. Matthew has abbreviated this story. And we're so glad to have all four Gospels. Mark has given us slightly more detail. So would you please join me in Mark chapter 11? Mark chapter 11, 15. Then they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were buying and selling in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he would not permit anyone to carry merchandise through the temple. And he began to teach and say to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations, but you have made it a robber's den'?" The chief priests and the scribes heard this and began seeking how to destroy him, for they were afraid of him, for the whole crowd was astonished at his teaching. Let's talk about temple worship. Brothers and sisters, when people came to the temple to worship God, remember this is Passover week. He's come into Jerusalem during the week of the Passover celebration. When people came to the temple to worship God, they needed to sacrifice an animal as part of their worship. Often people would not or could not bring the animal, the wood, or the oil to the temple. They had to buy them. So providing animals, Trinity Baptist, providing animals and materials for worship was a good thing. It was necessary. The people would come to worship God sometimes from a far distance, and they would buy the animal and the other things they needed for worship. The money changers were also necessary. Just as the buying and selling of animals and materials was necessary, the money changers were also necessary, because people would bring Greek money or Roman money, and the only money that was any good was the temple money. So when they came, they had to exchange the money. So the question we have to ask this morning is this: if the people needed to buy the animals, or the doves, or the wood, or the oil, And if the people needed to exchange the money, why was Jesus so upset? Jesus was so upset because the temple had a purpose. Would you please turn to Isaiah chapter 56? Isaiah 56. Thus says the Lord, preserve justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come and my righteousness to be revealed. How blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who takes hold of it, who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and keeps his hand from doing evil. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. Let not the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give in my house and within my walls a memorial and a name better than the sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name which will not be cut off. Also to the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from profaning my Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even those I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all the peoples. The temple is supposed to be a house of prayer. For who? Mark says it. Matthew didn't say it, but Mark said it, which is why I read Mark. Who is the house of prayer for? Jesus says, my house will be a house of prayer for all nations. God wanted the temple to be a place where everyone, all ethnic groups, all tribes, all people could come to pray. Why was he so mad? Mark 11, 17, he says, my house will be a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a robber's den. The Greek term robber actually means patriot or nationalist. Jesus was saying, my house will be a house of prayer, but you have reduced it to a place of national pride and religious superstition. Please turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah is just one book over, brothers and sisters. Jeremiah chapter 7. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah who enter by these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in deceptive words, saying, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. For if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly practice justice between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the alien, the orphan, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, nor walk after other gods to your own ruin, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you are trusting in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, and swear falsely, offer sacrifices to Baal, and walk after other gods that you have not known? Then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered, that you may do all these abominations? Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your sight? Behold, I, even I, have seen it, declares the Lord. Jesus says, my house is to be a house of prayer, but you have reduced it to a symbol of national pride. You draw near to me with your sacrifices, but your hearts are far from me. Jesus is not angry because animals are being sold. Jesus is not angry because money is being exchanged. Jesus is angry because the hearts of the people and the hearts of the religious leaders are far from him while they continue their dead religious ceremony. Jesus is angry, not because they're selling, but because of where they are selling. You see the slide behind me? This is the temple area that you see behind me. My pointer mic stand. This is the temple area. This wall is probably 600 feet long. I'm not positive on that, but this is a huge area. The temple is here, obviously. And this is the whole temple area. And this area here, I need someone taller. I got it. This area here, right there, this whole area and in here, is called the court of the Gentiles. The court of the Gentiles. You could see that if the words were bigger. It is called the court of the Gentiles. And the buying and selling is taking place in the court of the Gentiles. They, that is the buyers, the merchants, not the buyers, the sellers, they, that is the merchants, and the money changers, could have and did sell and exchange money outside those walls. But because they had lost the true purpose of the temple, they brought their business inside the temple area. Jesus is angry because they had transformed the holy, quiet place of worship into a market. The temple was a place for people to come to worship God and to pray. And the religious leaders of Jesus' day had neglected that priority. They did not love God, so it didn't really matter to them what went on inside the temple. If a Gentile wanted to go to the temple to pray, this area called the court of the Gentiles is the only place they had to do it. God wanted his temple to be a house of prayer for all nations, but because the religious leaders had turned the court of the Gentiles into a marketplace, the Gentiles had no place to pray. It's interesting to note that the people expected the promised Messiah to purify the temple. And Jesus does not disappoint. Some scholars feel that the business people in the temple were gouging or ripping off the people. Some scholars feel that the money changers were charging an unfair exchange rate, and that those selling doves and animals and materials for sacrificing were charging unfair prices. Some scholars feel they were gouging the people. The text does not plainly say that. Remember, robber's den means patriot's den. But the assumption that the money changers and the merchants were gouging the people is a very safe assumption. If this kind of greed within the temple was actually taking place, Jesus was no doubt very upset about this as well. The church should not be a den of robbers. It should be a house of prayer. The religious leaders of Jesus' day were so focused on religion that they forgot about God. In your notes, I ask a question. And it's very simple. In America today, we have many types of churches. And I would like to list several of them. Number one, in America today, we have the house of religious ceremony and tradition. The house of religious ceremony and tradition. A place where people come to observe or perform Christianity. Not observe as in watch, but observe as in perform. A place where you go through the motions of religion without ever truly connecting with God. In America today, we have the house of religious merit. The house of religious merit. A place where you go to feel better about yourself. A place where people feel that they are saved simply because they attend church. In America today, we have the house of community service. A place where you go to find something meaningful to do. A place where you go to help people, to feel needed, to make our community a better place. In America today, we have the house of life coaching. The house of life coaching, a place where we go to get practical, useful answers to life's toughest challenges. A place where the teaching is centered on you and your problems, but not on God and His glory. In America today, we have the house of friendship. A place to meet and hang out with your friends. Maybe meet the right guy or the right girl. In America today, we have the house of entertainment. A place where you can hear the coolest music or see the greatest drama, and where the pastor is funny and engaging and a powerful speaker. In America today, we have the house of greed. where the pastor just wants your money and doesn't care about your walk with God. And praise the Lord that in America today, there is the house of prayer. A place to drink deeply of the greatness of God. A place to drink deeply of the goodness of God. A place to worship God. A place to commune with your Heavenly Father. And that is what church should be about. Brothers and sisters, please don't misunderstand me. The church should be a place where you find your closest friends, because only in Christ can we truly love one another. The church should be a place where you find the best place of service, because the kingdom of God is the only eternal community service. The church should be a place where you find the best answers to life's biggest challenges, because all other answers are false. But above and beyond all that, the church should be focused on God. So the question for you to ask yourself is this: what is Trinity Baptist for you? Why do you come to church? Is it a house of religion for you? Do you come just to observe a religion and never truly get close to God? Is this a house of works for you? Do you feel that you are automatically saved because you attend church? Is this a house of obedience for you? Do you come because your parents make you? Or some authority in your life makes you come? Do you just walk in and walk out and never truly get close to God? Is this a house of friendship for you? Do you come here because it's a place just to meet your friends? So you hang out with your friends, but you never experience a real life-changing connection with God. Is this a house of service for you? Do you come to feel useful, to have something to do that brings you joy and gives you a sense of belonging, of importance, or satisfaction? So you come to serve, but you keep God at arm's length. Is it a house of life coaching for you? Do you come here simply to get advice for life, but fall short of surrendering your life to God, who will radically change your life? Do you come here to meet the right guy or the right girl, but never really experience true love? Is this a house of business for you? Do you come to network? Do you come to find clients, but never find God? Or is this a house of prayer for you?
Amen.
Amen. God wants to have an intimate, life-changing relationship with you. God is real. I was youth pastor for 18 years. Perhaps you can tell because I walk like this. But there's many youth pastor books out there. My library was full of them. I'm cleaning it out for Brother Mike. But my library was full of youth pastor books. I had a whole shelf of youth pastor books. the greatest games for youth ministry, the greatest drama for youth ministry, how to attract 1,000 kids, how to tie a water balloon right, how, where to do this and what to do this and how to make the coolest flyers, and here's all these great graphics and blah, 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 blah. There was one book in there called Soul Tending. Soul Tending as Youth Ministry. And I open up the book to the first page, the introduction, and I'm reading past it, and I saw the most gripping sentence that I will never forget in my entire life. The author says, teenagers are crying out for a life-changing encounter with a God who loves them and will save them and will change their life. And we have given them pizza. And I learned something. I learned something in my 18 years of youth ministry that I bring with me to my who knows how many years of senior pastor. I spent years attracting kids with movies only to find out that Hollywood does it better. I spent years attracting kids with food only to find out that they can get food wherever they go. I spent years attracting kids with games only to find out that they can have more fun outside the church. I could try to attract kids with the coolest band only to find out that there's cooler bands that don't sing about Jesus. And I learned that youth ministry and adult ministry should be about the one thing that the world cannot offer: God. Amen. My house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. Turn to Psalm 84. How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. The bird also has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even your altars, O Lord of hosts. My King and my God, how blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. How blessed is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The early rain also covers it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. That's what church is all about. That's what church is all about. Why
are you here? Are you here to meet friends? I hope you do meet friends, but I want you to meet God. Are you here to be entertained? I'm going to tell you right now that there's better music down the street. We do a great job here. We do a great job here, but we do not compete. Are you here to be entertained? Are you here to make, are you here that I keep your attention and make you laugh? Hopefully I make you laugh sometimes, and by God's grace, I'll keep your attention. But I'm here to bring you to God. Amen. Don't miss out on a life-changing relationship with God. Don't keep him at arm's length. Some of you are. Some of you came in here today and you are keeping him at arm's length because you are afraid. You need to surrender to his love. I want you to picture Christianity as a pool. Some of you are coming here because all your friends are on the pool. And you're just sticking your feet in. And you will never experience life change until you jump in the pool. Jump in the pool. Some of you here have jumped in the pool. And you know what David is experiencing. You know what David says when he says, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 outside. You know that sometimes you doubt, sometimes you fear, sometimes there are trials, sometimes there are tribulations, sometimes you fall into sin, sometimes you experience defeat. Sometimes the Christian life is hard. Sometimes you don't feel like going on anymore. But you have nowhere else to go. You can't leave. And I can't leave either. Because better is one day in your courts than 1,000 outside. Are you here for God? Are you here because you love God? Are you here because you want to get close to God? May Trinity Baptist Church always be a house of prayer. Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we want this house to be a house of prayer. Help us to surrender. Help us to surrender, to jump in the deep end, and to completely give you everything. In Jesus' name, amen.